Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Venkin and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning. NHL free agency is almost upon us. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Greg, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing good, man. It should be an interesting 48 hours as we approach the chaos of tomorrow and all the moves that lead up to it.
Yep, it's going to be pretty fascinating. So, Greg, obviously the news of the week here in Nashville is Philip Forsberg re-signing an 8-year contract worth $68 million. What did you make of that deal, both from the Preds' point of view and with Philip Forsberg's side of things as well?
Well, I mean, I love it from the Preds' point of view. I think that he's an essential player for them. I think that he's going to be good for the majority of that contract. It's sort of baffling that it took as long as it did to end up where it did. But I think it all worked out for the best for Nashville. I mean, the Forsberg part of it is you know, tough to figure, because I think that if he went to the open market, there was going to maybe be even more money for him there, to be honest with you, based on some of the positioning that was going to happen with these teams and based on what he's able to do. But at the end of the day, like I've said for years, players want to stay where their stuff is, and his stuff is in Nashville. So it all works out in the end.
So to that point, you've got Johnny Gaudreau still with no contract with the Flames, and he's obviously kind of the big fish in the free agency picture this year. I mean, we're a day away at this point. How do you see this playing out for Johnny Gaudreau? And if he goes to the open market, what do you think he's worth?
Well, he's going to be worth anywhere between $9.5 and over $10 million per season. The latest I heard from Calgary is that they have a deal on the table for $9.5. That may or may not be true. You never know exactly what the information you're getting is at this point in the season, whether it's real or not. But I was really struck when I was at the NHL draft by the optimism from their GM, Brad Treliving, with regard to Gaudreau and those negotiations. Like, I kind of figured with it being this late in the process that he might be gone. But, you know, they're still talking. He believes that there's mutual affinity for him staying in the market. I had somebody tell me the other day they thought that Treliving at the draft was just trying to save face. I had somebody tell me the other day that he thinks you know, maybe Gaudreau is not finding what he thought he'd find on the open market, you know, in these negotiations that, of course, aren't happening now because it's illegal, but are totally happening. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, the team that obviously we're all watching is the Philadelphia Flyers. They do have some cap maneuverability vis-a-vis, you know, a buyout for Oscar Lindblom, the possibility of trading James Van Riemsdyk. You do those two things, you're in pretty good financial position, at least for next season, to try to bring in Gaudreau. So I think that team remains sort of the canary in the coal mine. You know, if the Flyers start doing some things to get a lot more room under the cap, we can assume that wheels are in motion with Gaudreau. If not, I mean, I think the Calgary situation is real, and the fact that it's gone this long isn't necessarily indicative of it being bad news for Calgary. I just think that it's one of these deals where they are clearly looking for the beginning of free agency and their ability to give this guy an 8-year contract as a pressure point in negotiations.
Does his stuff is their theory work if Johnny Gaudreau plays for his hometown team because some of his stuff is there? His childhood stuff is there? Does that count?
The stuff is there, you know, theorem does have an amendment. Because that's what happened with John Tavares.
Right.
I mean, John Tavares' stuff was on Long Island, but it was also in Toronto. You know,
the bed sheets.
His childhood bed. Yeah, right. So yeah, there's always going to be that caveat. And again, like the Flyers, the Devils, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk about whether the Islanders can create room for him. I think all those three metropolitan teams could be in the Johnny Gaudreau business. But ultimately, you know, I think Calgary is a really big player here. And then we're all sort of just wondering if there might be a dark horse team that we're not considering. I mean, like the Seattle Kraken are sitting over there with mountains of cap space and the want and need to make a splash in year two. And I think we're all waiting to see if that manifests into something for a guy like Gaudreau. But I think ultimately it's probably going to be, you know, the East Coast versus Calgary for Gaudreau in the next couple of days.
Greg Wyszynski of ESPN joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Greg, the Pittsburgh Penguins announced a major signing last night, a six-year, $30 million contract for Rickard Rakell. What is going on with Evgeny Malkin in Pittsburgh, and why are the Penguins playing hardball with one of the greatest players in their history?
Well, they're playing hardball because I don't think that – I think they're taking a realistic view on Malkin. And it's a tough thing to do when he's a franchise icon. He's a former MVP in the regular season and the playoffs. He's synonymous with the Penguins during the Crosby run. He's part of the Holy Trinity with Crosby and Letang there that's, you know, been there for all three cups. I think they're taking the hard line because they know that this guy can't play more than, like, 55 games in a season. They know that the way he plays means that he's going to be continue to be a defensive liability as defense has slipped remarkably in the last few years. And at some point, the injuries and all of it are going to make this guy latter-day Joe Thornton and probably make that him that during the duration of this contract. So, like, that's the bottom line with Evgeny Malkin, is that, like, I think that they thought 3 years is the most they would go with him. They never put a fourth year on the table. He thinks he can get a fourth year out of somebody else. Godspeed. You know, I understand Penguins fans saying, well, where are you going to find another point-per-game player that can play center? And I agree, it ain't going to be easy. But you might be able to find a guy that can play 82 games, which is something that Malkin can't do right now. And I think that's part of the equation, too. So they've made a tough decision. They knew exactly the contract they wanted to give him, given where he is at this point in his career. And I think that it's clearly going to cause some problems, probably behind the scenes with Sid. And I think it's going to obviously cause some problems within the fan base that see the Penguins spending money that otherwise would be earmarked on Malkin on other players that don't exactly do some of the things that he's still capable of doing.
I know that you and I would both root for the chaos of getting Malkin signing with the Washington Capitals.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. That'd be the greatest end result. I mean, the Capitals are in kind of a weird space.
Right, with Backstrom.
Yeah, Nick Backstrom had hip resurfacing surgery, which, again, if you look at the guys that have had that surgery and you know them coming back to play, it's not always the prettiest situation. But they feel obligated to keep that cap space open for Nick because they do expect him back at some point this season. And, you know, that's I think it's like $9.5 million of money that you really can't do much with at this point. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Malkin and Ovechkin have that connection, and the Capitals do have a want and need for a center at this point to play ahead of or behind Kuznetsov. So that's a natural fit. I mean, you know, geographically, lineup-wise, and then obviously for all of us, the chaos of it all.
Yes.
So, I mean, I wouldn't close the door on that possibility with him, you know, apparently not going back to Pittsburgh.
Greg, with free agency opening tomorrow, this is a two-part question. First part, which free agent player's contract are you most fascinated to see when it's all said and done? And the second part is, which player is going to sign the most instantly regrettable contract?
I'm really interested to see what Nazem Kadri gets on the open market. I mean, you know, he is a little bit older. I think he's like 31. He's coming off a career year like he's never had before offensively. But he also had four rounds of playoff hockey for the most part that really was a great advertisement for what he's able to do on both ends of the ice and the tenacity with which he plays. So, I think there's going to be a robust market for him as a guy that can come in and play center. I'm fascinated to see where it's going to be. You're going to have some contending teams as possibilities, the Rangers being one of them, Boston being another. You're going to have some teams like Seattle and Detroit that are a little bit farther away from contention, but might want to sign him to be a number one center while they wait for some of their younger players to kind of cycle through. So that's the one I'm fascinated by. Regrettable, I mean, they're all going to be regrettable at the end of the day. Rare is the UFA contract. It's not. But I'm not the biggest guy on John Klingberg, to be honest with you. I hesitate to say that because if Carolina is as hot for him as they seem to be, that's a really smart front office. So maybe I'm missing something on the defensive side of the ice because I think that's where he's a bit of a liability. But then again, like you look at the two teams that are in the market for him right now. One is Carolina that could easily just throw him with Slavin. And as we saw with Tony D'Angelo, that can cover up a lot of your problems defensively. And then if it's Seattle, who's also, I think, really in on Klingberg, They can repair him with Jamie Oleksiak, who he played with in Dallas. So I think someone's going to throw a bunch of money at him, maybe more than he should get. But in certain cases, it might be strategically smart because they are going to be able to manage the biggest liability in his game better than most.
Greg, last thing for you here. It's pretty obvious the Blackhawks are going in the tank. What do you think is going through the mind of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, and how do you see all that playing out?
Well, it's a tug of war, right? Like I think both of those guys have spoken about an affinity for playing with the same team throughout their entire career. And in order to do that, they're going to have to play through a few years of absolute pain because they're stripping this thing down to the nuts and bolts, right? So ultimately, it's hard to imagine two really competitive guys wanting to remain there through all of this. But at the same time, I mean, you know, we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes as far as the comfortability of living in a city for as long as they have, their dedication to the franchise, and all of that. So we'll see what happens. And I think the other part of it too, obviously, is that, you know, we don't know what's being told to them behind the scenes. I mean, like, for example, you look at the Rangers rebuild. I mean, they were able to luck out in the lottery a couple times, get a couple free agents, and then all of a sudden they're right back at it. What is the timeline being sold to them look like for this to happen? Is it going to be 4 years? Is it going to be 2 years? I mean, I'm not quite sure. So I think that's going to play a factor in it too. But, I mean, ultimately, it's hard to imagine two guys with that much professional pride going through the motions for a rebuilding team that could, at this point, based on the amount of young players they shipped out, be a three-year process.
Greg, certainly going to be interesting. Appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
That's Greg Wyshynski, our guest here from ESPN on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts on NHL free agency, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just getting the word out, because for 30 years we've had the pill. We've had all its side effects, and Harvard even reported that it doesn't even work on 30% of men. Past those options, we have surgery with long recovery times or needles to treat erectile dysfunction. Well, that has all changed because now we have a technology, not a pill, and it's called acoustic wave therapy. The machine itself sort of looks like a small ultrasound machine. It's placed on the skin where gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, causing them to expand, oftentimes repair themselves, and allow for more blood flow. And blood flow is the name of the game when you're treating erectile dysfunction.
So, Miles, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, go ahead and log on to BridgesideMedicalClinic.com, hit the science tab. You're going to find 60 independent placebo-controlled studies. Cambridge has studied this. The Cleveland Clinic has studied this. They've all called it safe and effective. Some have even called it the new standard of care for treatment of ED.
And, Miles, you got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
We do, guys. Pick up the phone. Give us a call right now because we'll include the exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound. That's all free. Plus, I have an additional gift for the next 20 callers. Provides powerful results in the bedroom. You're going to get that for free as well. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain by calling us right now.
You heard, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Greg Wyshynski for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 coming up at 9 o'clock. By the way, David Poyle joining the DDC coming up later today at 11 o'clock. So looking forward to that discussion. 11 o'clock, David Poyle. We had Philip Forsberg on earlier in the show. If you missed that conversation with Philip Forsberg We'll have it for you again coming up at 9:30 as well. Great stuff from number nine. So looking forward to that. NHL free agency just a day away, Adam Vingan.
Mm-hmm.
What are some intriguing storylines to you heading into this, particularly as it relates to the Nashville Predators?
Well, as we were talking to Greg, his partner in crime, Jeff Marek, tweeted out something I found to be interesting. So it's been reported that Andrew Kopp, who was traded from Winnipeg, if I recall this correctly, was traded from Winnipeg to the New York Rangers at the trade deadline and fit in quite well with the New York Rangers, who made it to the Eastern Conference Final, will not be returning to New York, or at least will be testing free agency. And oftentimes when a player is testing the market, it means he's unlikely to come back. There are exceptions to this. Jeff, who is quite plugged in, wondered aloud if the Predators might be a fit for Andrew Kopp. And I find that to be interesting because, you know, Kopp was the Rangers' second-line center down the stretch. And I think he played with Artemi Panarin quite a bit. So if they were looking for they're not really looking for a center. Now, I can't recall if Kopp ever played wing for the Winnipeg Jets. I feel like he might have.
Yeah.
And he is a left shot. So if you wanted him to be a left winger, I mean, it could work. I'd be curious to see if that were a fit and how much Kopp would cost, because I think he increased his value during the stretch run and in the playoffs. I'm looking up his expiring contract. Kopp was playing on a one-year, $3.64 million contract with the Winnipeg Jets. It was signed following an arbitration filing. So I think that might have been – I can't recall. I mean, I guess it would have – he actually would have gone through arbitration. I think that was an arbitration ruling. So he was playing on a one-year contract at $3.6-ish million. I mean, do you see a fit? I'm not sure I do.
Well, I think he's a good player. I think to me he's probably on a good team, probably needs to be your third-line guy.
And like, I think that's what he was in Winnipeg.
That's what he was in Winnipeg.
When they were at the height of their powers in the 2017-18 season.
Now, last year, you know, he had a good year last year. Combined with Winnipeg and New York, he had 21 goals, 32 assists, 53 points. So that's a good year. As you said, he did play some with Panarin. He's really good defensively as well, which is something to keep in mind here. But you're wanting somebody that can put the puck in the back of the net. I mean, the concern I would have would be he had 21 goals last year. His previous high prior to that is 15.
Yeah.
So, now, that was 15 in 55 games played in 2021. So, it was a shortened season that year. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I think the price will be there. Like, we discussed yesterday, you're probably going to have somewhere between $4.5 million to work with if you're the Predators. When you factor in Trennan's new contract that's eventually going to come down the pike, when you factor in, you know, if you're David Poile wanting to leave yourself a little bit of wiggle room with a salary cap as the season begins, probably $4.5 million that you've got to work with. So what does that look like? And is Kopp the resource you want to spend that on? I don't know. Like, I think he's a good player. I'm not sure that he makes the top six dramatically better. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't think I think he kind of falls into that same category as some of the players we were mentioning yesterday that, you know, could be available at the price range that we were talking about, whether it was Nino Niederreiter or Max Domi or someone along those lines. You know, Kopp fit right in. I mean, the Rangers made some savvy moves at the trade deadline, and Kopp was one of them. And I'm sure a team with a need for a top six center will certainly go after him in free agency tomorrow. But, you know, I just based on the depth chart, I'm not sure exactly, one, where he fits in a potential Predators lineup, and two, you know, if he does play on the wing, you know, is he a difference maker? I'm not convinced.
What do you make of the Evgeny Malkin side of this? Because you brought it up with Pittsburgh. It looks like he's going to be heading to free agency. Now, there's apparently been a three-year offer on the table from Pittsburgh, and he wants four. You know, it doesn't mean if he goes and tests the market. Like, it's not like you're dealing with an eight-year contract here. So the advantage that you would have if you're, you know, like, let's say the Predators in the Forsberg situation with an eight-year contract that only you can offer, mm-hmm. that doesn't really exist here with the Malkin situation. What does exist is you have 16 years of familiarity, and he's the pillar of a franchise along with Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang. So I still, I guess, at the end of the day, have my questions as to whether or not he's actually going to end up leaving Pittsburgh. Something may get figured out on a short-term basis. But if he does, let's say he does leave, what does that market look like? And we've had, you know, a couple of questions on our text line today, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you're the Predators, should you take a look at Malkin?
Well, I think Jared may have made this point yesterday that if Malkin is looking for 4 years and you look at some of the contracts that are lining up for the Predators, their core players, a lot of them have 3 to 4 years left. The majority of them do anyway. You know, if you really want to go for it. But I agree with a lot of what Greg said, that, you know, Malkin is still a good player, but he is greatly diminished.
He's not the same guy.
And I do find it interesting that, you know, that the Penguins are playing hardball with, you know, one of the maybe the third greatest player in their history behind Sidney Crosby and Mario Lemieux. Yeah. You can argue which one of those two goes first, but you know, I would root for Team Chaos, and have him sign a short term deal with the Washington Capitals. That would be fabulous, because as we talked about, they do need a center with Nick Backstrom potentially. I know that Nick Backstrom is hoping to play at some point this coming season, but as Greg said, players historically who have had the surgery that Nick has had don't come back or come back very briefly before retiring. I think Ryan Kessler yep. was the most recent example, and Ed Jovanovski, you know, veteran defenseman before that. So I would love that if Malkin played on the line with Ovechkin against Crosby, man. That would be must-see TV.
Pierre Laviolette at the helm.
Oh yeah. So I you know, it would be you know, I have a hard time seeing Malkin leave. You know, you talk about players that you identify with one franchise, and you know, Crosby and Malkin have been 1-2 in Pittsburgh for 15 years.
What a week that'll be for the city of Pittsburgh. You change the name of Heinz Field and Evgeny Malkin leaves in the same week.
Yeah.
Tough time.
There'll be a lot of shattered Heinz 57 bottles. All over Pittsburgh.
That's right. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on NHL free agency. What should the Predators be looking for? Are there any players that strike your interest as Preds fans? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, the game.
Philip, what was on the itinerary for your bachelor party?
I bet you want to know that.
yes, I do.
There was, it was a good time. We had a good time. It was, my friends did a great job setting it all up, or not all up. We all put it together, obviously, but it was great. We had a really good time, and there's a little bit of recovery needed, but I feel better now.
That was Philip Forsberg on with us earlier in the show. Great stuff from Adam Vigna there, getting to the bottom of what exactly went on in Philip Forsberg's bachelor party. He was not willing to disclose the details, but I think there could be some reading between the lines that takes place there. Good stuff from Philip. By the way, if you missed that interview that we had earlier in the show, we'll have it coming up for you in its entirety at 9:30 today here on the program with Philip Forsberg. So there you go. I got a message on the text line from Tyler. Says Adam Vingan with the Jaromir Jagr erasure, and I won't stand for it.
Oh, wow. I did forget Jagr.
Won't stand for it. How could you forget that Jagr hair in the early 90s?
Good call there. That's my bad.
So we would go some version of Lemieux's number one. So let's go Lemieux 1, Crosby 2, Jagr 3.
Malkin 4. Fair?
In terms of, I think, Pittsburgh Penguins of all time.
Yes, I unfortunately, forgot about Jaromir Jagr.
Matt Cullen, somewhere at number 6 or 7 on the list.
Yes. Philip wasn't biting on my bachelor party question.
He was not.
Do we need to get George Kittle on the phone?
Well, we might need to see what George That's it. I don't even know if George was there, but
I have to imagine that George had to make some sort of appearance. Those two are like best buds.
They're like inseparable. I don't know.
Training camp doesn't start for a couple more weeks for the NFL.
That's
so,
right.
I think he was in Spain, I believe, right? I think that was where.
I think so.
Yeah, I think he went to Spain. Philip did for his bachelor party. I'm sure they ran with the Bulls.
Yep.
Or whatever the kids do these days.
My bachelor party was at Panama City Beach, Florida, so his is probably a little bit better than mine.
I don't know. The Redneck Riviera versus the Spanish Riviera. Is there a Spanish Riviera? There's a French Riviera. I'm not sure if there's a Spanish Riviera. But, hey, Panama City Beach, Florida, man. I've never been.
What?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, what about Vincent Trocheck to the Preds, or will he cost too much?
Vincent Trocheck.
I don't think he will cost too much.
No, I think he'll probably be in that same sort of range that we're talking about. And, you know, Trocheck's a good player.
He's 29.
I think he's predominantly a center, I think.
Yeah.
I'm looking at he had 51 points in 81 games last season for the Carolina Hurricanes, 21 goals, 30 points the year before that. He had 43 points in 47 games. You know, his career mark, he had 31 goals and 75 points in the 17-18 season in 82 games for the Florida Panthers.
He's a good player.
He is a good player. The players that are coming out of Carolina, you know, they do have some interesting names. You know, Nino Niederreiter, Vincent Trocheck, Ian Cole, who's had an interesting week on social media.
Yes.
Trocheck is a good player. He's a little mouthy, which I think is good for this team. Like, you look at some of the, you know, I was reading something from ESPN during the break about everything that, you know, every team should do in free agency, and, you know, the Predators, you know, they're, now that Phillip has been re-signed, their most, you know, prominent UFA is Nick Cousins, and Nick, you know, fit a role in Nashville. I think, you know, he brought some spice to the lineup, but he wasn't incredibly productive. And I think if you can find a player like Nick Cousins who is a bit more productive, I think that would be a good thing. And I think Trocheck fits that mold. I'm not sure what the fit would be here, but yeah, Trocheck is a good player. I mean, he's a consistent, 40 to 50 point guy. But then again, you know, you're hoping for a little bit more from your top six.
Well, you bring up the free agents that they have. Like, I would be surprised if Nick Cousins is back at this point. Like, I think the Predators are probably going to let him go. You know, Matt Benning is a free agent as well, who's been playing on a, you know, $1 million cap hit the last couple of years. So he's been a relatively inexpensive player. And, you know, he's had his moments where he's played okay for the Predators, had his moments as well where it's not been all that great. But for his price, I mean, I guess I could see them taking a look at bringing him back, but it kind of feels like their defense core is set. He'd be the eighth defenseman at that point. So do you really want to bring him back as an eighth defenseman role? I kind of have my doubts.
No, I think with the news that Ryan McDonagh is now a member of the Nashville Predators, I think Matt Benning is probably on his way out.
So both those guys are probably gone at this point. So, you know, I think definitely top six is going to be addressed. That's probably it. Like, I think you're probably one player away, barring a trade, which it's hard to see coming at this point, but you're one player away from basically having your team set next year, I think, if you're the Predators. So there's going to be some options on the table that they've got coming up tomorrow. Jack on the text line says, is Claude Giroux washed, and will he break the bank? I've always liked him. It's coming from Jack on Twitter.
I don't think he's washed. You know, he is an older player. Claude Giroux is 34 years old. He had 65 points last season.
Yep.
He had 23 points in 18 regular season games for the Panthers, 20 assists. There's been a lot of chatter. There's been a lot of chatter about him potentially returning home to Ottawa.
Yep.
And Ottawa has a lot of cap space, and they just made a big splash with trading for Alex DeBrincat. You know, they appear to be in that turning the corner phase, and Giroux would certainly help that. He's going to be too much. He's gonna demand too much, I think, on the open market. I don't think they have the space for him here.
Neil on the text line says, "Do you know why the Preds didn't qualify Matt Luff or David Ferentz?" It's coming from Neil on the text line.
Luff, I would just guess because there are a lot of Matt Luffs out there.
Yeah.
Ferentz is interesting. You know, he did not have a great season in Milwaukee. And like I said earlier in the show, just because a team does not qualify a restricted free agent doesn't mean that player can't come back.
Right.
I don't know what Ferentz's qualifying offer would be. My guess, it would be above league average. And maybe the Predators want to save a little bit, so perhaps they re-sign him as a UFA to a league minimum. I meant league minimum, not league average. A league minimum contract. I don't think I don't know if the door is all the way shut on David Ferentz. But clearly, he hasn't been what they have hoped so far. If they're not giving him a qualifying offer,
right? And that was not uncommon around the whole league yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it was in the 90s in terms of players that did not receive.
And there were some really good
offers. Players, yeah,
who did not receive qualifying offers. So, I mean, we talked about Dylan Strome.
Yeah.
In Chicago, and Dominique Kubalik.
Samsonov, the goalie in Washington.
Did not get one. They don't have any goalies on their – they don't have any goalies.
No.
Because they traded Vanecek, and they did not qualify Samsonov. All signs point to Darcy Kemper, signing in Washington tomorrow. Sonny Milano,
yep,
in Anaheim, and Sam Steele. Neither of them received qualifying offers. Yeah, there were a lot of really good young players around the league who did not get qualifying offers. And as I said earlier in the show, it's sort of because of this flat cap world, the middle class is being squeezed out because the players at the top that make a lot of the money, they're still going to make a lot of the money. And the players at the bottom who are league minimum or thereabouts are still going to get cheap deals. It's that $3-5 million range, those players that are going to have some difficulty getting their value on the market.
We'll continue the discussion coming up next. There's a player that's intriguing that Chase McKay brought up yesterday that I want to get Adam's thoughts on the other side. Also got more questions on the text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Join 1025, 1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids, but we can't do it without you. Please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 coming up at 9 o'clock. We will replay our interview from earlier in the show with Philip Forsberg at 9:30. Great conversation with Philip Forsberg. That's coming up at 9:30 here on the program. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Preds and NHL free agency on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Steve in Brentwood texting in says, would they trade Ekholm to get the right top six winger? This is coming from Steve in Brentwood. Would you trade Matthias Ekholm to get the right top six winger? Would they?
No.
Is the question.
No. They just signed him.
I know.
I don't think that's
well, to me, it kind of – I wouldn't say that it totally negates the McDonough trade, but you needed a boost on your defense.
Yes.
And you got McDonough coming in. If you then move Ekholm out, well, then you still need another defenseman.
Right. I think it would be counterintuitive for them to do that. There's your big word of the day.
Also, you talk about no movement clauses. You know, they traded Ryan Ellis 2 years after he signed his deal without a no movement clause.
Yeah,
Matthias Ekholm just signed his last year.
His contract hasn't even started.
It just kicks in now.
It just starts like tomorrow.
Yeah. Starts tomorrow, yeah. And you just trade.
Yeah,
it's probably not. It's not a good look. Now, I will say this. Sometimes it's just the way you have to do things, mm-hmm. if you're a general manager, so you can worry about the look of it later. So I understand that, but I would be very, very surprised if Matthias Ekholm got traded.
Yes, I would as well. So sorry, Dexter.
Now, is there a trade that has not yet been made by David Poile? So, I mean, you got McDonough for essentially nothing with Myers and Grant Mismatch going the other way. You traded Luke Cunningham and got a third-round pick and a prospect back. So you've made some deals already. Do you see a scenario with this roster trade-wise that makes sense for them to go get a top 6-4? Because I look at their roster right now, like, you know, Dante Fabro is not fetching you a top 6-forward. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think there's a single individual player that they're willing to trade or that they can trade that gets them a top 6-4 to me.
Right. Like, you go back to 2016 when the Predators traded Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson. And Seth Jones always was going to be that asset. When the Predators needed to upgrade at forward, they had a young defenseman only a few years in the league with a lot of potential. And you always kind of knew that Seth Jones was going to be that trade chip. Even a year later to 2017 when the Predators were involved in that ill-fated three-team deal with Colorado and Ottawa. You know, Sam Girard was that player that was going to get you what you thought would be an upgrade at forward. Unfortunately, Kyle Turris was anything but that. But there really isn't that player on this roster. You're right. Like, in terms of a player that they would actually want to trade, the assets aren't really there. You know, they don't really have a pipeline, you know, brimming with up and comers, like big time difference makers.
Well, the one guy they got in their pipeline
is Askarov.
Is Askarov,
but you're not trading him.
I don't think you're trading him right now.
So, I think Jared and Caroline were talking about, you know, if you want to be bold and do something, you know, out of the box, you know, trade UC Saros. I don't imagine that happening either.
There is someone that Chase McCabe brought up yesterday that I'm interested to get your thoughts on, because he's an older player, but he's been a pain in the side of the Predators for a long time.
Okay,
and
hold on.
Really good in the playoffs.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Okay. He's been a pain for the Predators for a long time. He's a free agent or a trade?
He is about to become a free agent.
What team? Give me a hint that doesn't make it obvious, because I didn't hear this
yesterday. I'm trying to think of a hint that doesn't make it obvious.
Jerome Iginla.
Well, good Lord.
He was a pain for the Predators.
He was a big-time pain for the Predators. I'll put it to you this way. He's played for a certain team in the Central Division, and he's come back there on three separate occasions.
David Perron.
That is it.
Yeah, David Perron is interesting because it appears he is being squeezed out in St. Louis.
He's 34. He had 57 points last year, 27 goals, 30 assists in 67 games, and was very, very good for the Blues in the playoffs.
Yes. And, you know, even going back to, you know, he was a member of the inaugural Vegas Golden Knights and had 66 points in 70 games. And then, he's hit 60 a couple times here in the last few years. That would be interesting. I think that would be an upgrade.
And I'm thinking two-year deal. For David Perron. He's 34, so you're not going much past that anyway. But, mm-hmm. you know, he's up there, so that's what you're concerned about. But, I mean, the production was absolutely there last year.
Yeah, that's an interesting name out there for sure. He helps drive play a little bit. He's a really good finisher, career-wise. He's a strong finisher, and he's responsible defensively. So, yeah, I could get on board with that.
What do you think his market looks like? Because the Blues, they want him back, and mm-hmm. they've made that pretty clear. But they're just in a salary cap spot right now where that's going to be difficult to accomplish. So, like, I think there's still some dialogue there between he and the Blues, and I guess ultimately I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow found a way to make that work. But I do wonder at age 34. I mean, the numbers would suggest that
he's coming off of a 4-year, $16 million contract.
Right. So you're talking about a $4 million cap hit there at age 34. Now, he did have a great year last year. So does that go up a little bit? Maybe. But there's also the age part of this that you got to factor in.
Right. Like if it was 34. If it was 2 years, $9 million, so it's $4.5 million cap hit for 2 years, yeah, I take a flyer on David Perron, sure.
Yeah, I think that could be something to maybe keep your eye on tomorrow.
Yeah, I like it. I could get on board with that. So good idea by Chase.
Logan says, "Go trade for Corey Perry." Duh.
Well, I'm just telling you this: if you trade for Corey Perry, you're gonna lose in the Stanley Cup Final.
Hey,
you'll get there.
You sign up for that right now.
You'll get there, but you're gonna lose because Corey Perry, as we know, has now played in three consecutive Stanley Cup Finals and has been on the losing end all three times with the Dallas Stars in the bubble, with the Montreal Canadiens. And now with the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's the anti Patrick Maroon, basically.
Yes. Which I know just imagine, really just makes Predators fans really
can
upset.
Can you imagine
to watch
though Corey Perry playing for the Nashville Predators? Because when you're ranking the all time villains in Predators history, Corey Perry's got to be top three.
He's top three. Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. Now, for starters, he's not going anywhere. He's got one more year left on his deal with Tampa.
Right.
So. And he was really good for Tampa at a very cheap price. So
exactly.
He ain't going anywhere. But it is interesting to think about that. I mean, look, Perron is not on the villain list very high, I don't think. But mm-hmm. he's certainly – when you talk about the mold of hard to play against and kind of a pain in the butt, that's David Perron to a T there.
Oh, for sure. No, I really like that idea. I hadn't really thought of it, but I do think that could be a fit. I do.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kathleena, who wants to weigh in. Kathleena, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hello, guys. Adam, it's great to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Glad you haven't gone too far away. A couple of things. One is, I'm not a big David Perron fan, but I will take him every day above Corey Perry.
I bet.
To turn in my season tickets if they get Corey Perry on this team.
You're probably not alone there.
The other thing is, if they trade Ekholm, I'm going to be so mad because I don't think it's necessary. I mean, we need him, the size of him, on our defense, in my opinion, and his skill. I mean, he's a good defenseman. So, and I think with McDonough coming in, it's just going to make our defense that much better. Of course, you guys have said that. Another thing, just real quick before I let you go, is I would love, after free agency and all the hoopla that goes around that and everything, I would love for Adam and Robbie and, I don't know, maybe Willie, I don't know, Chris Mason, is to do a show on the prospects.
Okay.
The guys down in Milwaukee or the guys that are playing elsewhere. And tell us who these guys are, what do y'all think of them, and all that stuff. And I'd just love for you guys to be able to have a show where we can find out about these guys. Because I really don't know that much about them.
Well, we may have to put that together. That could be a great idea, Kathleen. We appreciate it.
Thanks. See you. Bye.
Absolutely. That's gonna be something we have to think about doing there, Binion.
All right.
Look, Ekholm's not going anywhere.
That is long since coming. Ekholm would have been at the trade deadline like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So Elliot Freeman just put out something about the market, you know, ahead of free agency, and this is interesting. San Jose GM Mike Greer admitted Monday the Sharks will try to accommodate a Brent Burns move if the defenseman wishes. Burns has a lot of control on this. He's got a permanent residence in Texas, and it's believed Dallas is a preferred destination. Sidebar, Joe Pavelski's there too.
Sure.
It would take some cap gymnastics. However, I had also heard that Nashville is somewhere he'd like, but the Predators have made their moves.
Yeah, Brent Burns is not coming here.
I know, but can you imagine? Like, if can you imagine Brent Burns playing for the Predators?
No, I can't. I mean, at this day, well, how old is he? He's up there, isn't he?
He's not young.
He's 37. Yeah, he's old.
And he does, and he's got some term left.
I love how I just called 37. 37 is ancient.
He has three more seasons left at $8 million. So
yeah,
that would have been. I think McDonough was the right call.
Though. Let me tell you, if that's who the Dallas Stars end up replacing Klingberg with,
yeah, watch out.
Probably feeling okay with that if you're a Preds fan.
Yeah, Brent Burns. I mean, look, he's not the player he was 4 or 5 years ago.
No,
he's still a really good player.
He's still Very good. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Get his thoughts on the Preds and the signing of Philip Forsberg and the Titans with training camp just a few weeks away as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.